Well, first of all, climate change is an observational fact. We see that global temperatures have risen by almost 1 degree centigrade in the last 100 years. We see that the global sea level has risen by nearly 20 centimeters in the last 100 years. We see that the mountain glaciers are in rapid retreat. We can see that the Arctic ice cover is in retreat, that the continental ice sheets in Greenland and Antarctica are shrinking, losing mass, contributing to sea level rise. We see extreme events on the rise. For example, the number of record-breaking hot months has increased fivefold as compared to what you get just by chance in a stationary climate. So climate change is here, and it is really affecting people already after a relatively small amount of climate change of global warming, which is only less than 1 degree centigrade. And if we don't stop this process, then we will go way beyond 2 degrees centigrade, and we will leave the range that we are familiar with throughout the human history, throughout the Holocene. We will be way outside that into uncharted and, I think, very dangerous waters.
Are we not already on the way there? Is it not an illusion to think that we can still stop climate change?
Well, because we are causing global warming, we can stop it as well. That is the good news, that we are the cause and not some kind of cosmic phenomenon or the sun or anything like some people like to believe. That is, I would say, luckily not the case, because we can influence it, we can stop it. And as was shown in the IPCC report, we can stop global warming below 2 degrees centigrade at surprisingly little cost. And we avoid massive risks by doing that.
But how likely is it, do you think, that this is going to happen? And what would have to happen this year at the Peru conference and next year in Paris to keep us to the 2 degree target?
Well, this weekend we are here in Berlin celebrating 25 years of the Berlin Wall falling down. And if you had asked people even a few months before that, how likely is it that the wall comes down? I think nobody would have said, well, yeah, that's going to happen. Most people would have said it's not going to happen. So I think processes like this in society cannot easily be predicted, but I can see a very encouraging signs, the huge success story of renewable energies. We can see that parts of the world, like the European Union, have already greatly reduced their emissions of greenhouse gases since 1990, whilst having experienced quite a good economic growth in this time, which shows that you can decouple emissions from economic growth and welfare. And we have the technologies to solve this problem. And the economic analysis of a number of different groups of economists from around the world, as summarized by the IPCC, shows that we just have surprisingly little cost you would hardly notice as a normal person if we go through this investment into the energy system that will transform it into a truly sustainable energy supply and not a fossil fuel-based one.
But the IPCC report did not contain certain information, for instance, about what is happening in the Antarctic. And some scientists, I believe yourself included, think we could have reached a tipping point, at least with the West Antarctic ice. How does that influence the urgency with which we have to tackle this?
It is true that it looks like for West Antarctica, we have already crossed the tipping point beyond which this part of the Antarctic ice sheet will get lost, is in an unstoppable decline. That is no reason for fatalism, though, because there are many more and even more dangerous thresholds and impacts and risks ahead of us. So I think this would certainly be a good reason to stop global warming at as low a level as we can, as far below the 2 degree limit that already has been agreed globally as we can.
If we look at the Arctic just for a moment, what exactly is happening in the Arctic? Since 2000, temperature rise has been very high in the Arctic.
We do see a disproportionate rise in temperatures in the Arctic, and we have already in the summer lost almost half of the sea ice cover that is usually on the Arctic Ocean that has been there until the 1970s. And to some extent, it is expected that the Arctic is a hotspot of global warming because there is an amplifying feedback. If the ice cover shrinks, you absorb more of the solar radiation, less gets reflected back into space because the ice normally acts like a mirror to the sunlight. And so, and to some extent, what is happening in the Arctic is expected and predicted by climate models. I say to some extent because it is a bit stronger than we expected, and there are some aspects to this that we still need to research. There is a similar issue in the Earth history where there are some warmer periods in the climate history where data consistently show that the poles have warmed much more than the climate models would predict for these past periods in history. So there may be some amplifying factors at work in the Arctic that we haven't included in the models yet.
We had some research this week, or we had one ice researcher, Peter Wadhams, saying that the Arctic is going to be ice-free in summer a lot earlier than we thought, possibly even as early as 2020. What do you think of that?
Well, in science, there's always a range of opinions, and I think Peter Wadhams marks one extreme of the range of opinions. I kind of would find it quite unlikely that an ice-free Arctic can be seen that soon. I think it is a few decades into the future, but it is extremely worrying that we've already lost almost half of the ice cover in the Arctic Ocean.